To Zechariah chapter 11. And I'll read the first two verses and consider the chapter as a whole. And Zechariah chapter 11, I'm reading the first two verses. Open your doors, O Lebanon, that fire may devour your cedars. Wail, O Cyprus, for the cedar has fallen because the mighty trees are ruined. Wail, O oaks of Bashan. Well, we've been working our way through the prophecy of Zechariah with one or two breaks here and there. We've been observing in the last few weeks in chapters 9 and 10 that this is a prophecy that covers the entirety of the scope of human experience. For example, in the 9th verse of chapter 9, we are given a prophecy about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 10th verse, we are given a prophecy of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So for those who live in Zechariah's day, there is the prophecy 500 years from their time for the first coming of the Lord Christ. For those of us who live 2,500 years after Zechariah, we live 2,000 years after the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're yet looking forward to that appointed day of his glorious second coming. But then we saw that in chapters 9 and 10, he's dealing with what's happening in the experience of God's people between these ages, or during both the Old and the New Testament. And as we come to chapter 11, these are very desolate words of judgment, not without hope, but they are difficult words. They're difficult to interpret. I can't go into all the details. If you are interested in it, we can speak about it sometime at your own time. But we want to look at the main teaching of the chapter in as brief and profitable a way as possible. The first thing we ought to remember as we come to this chapter, as we did last time, there's a great imagery used here, which is used throughout the scriptures, beginning in Genesis 49, that of the sheep and the shepherd. And of course, as we read through the Bible, there is the under-shepherds, and there is the sheep. God's people are often portrayed as sheep. And the leaders, both prophets and kings and other leaders, are portrayed as shepherds. And as in chapter 10, here again we have this imagery used in great detail. So what we see in verses 1 to 3 is that Jehovah warns his people. Now, who is this addressed to? Well, I've already said it's his people. He speaks about Lebanon. He speaks about Bashan. And he speaks about Jordan in the first three verses. And we don't have the time now, but if you look up Deuteronomy 11 and 24, through Moses, God had promised a land to the descendants of Abraham. And Lebanon was included in the promised land. And of course, Bashan and Jordan, we're all aware of. Jordan is the Jordan River, and both sides of it belong to the children of Israel. And so these words are for the children of Israel, typified by the extremities of the land that Jehovah had given. We do that, don't we? We refer to America, but we don't refer to America always when we say in geographical terms. We refer to them as the people who live in America or anywhere else. And that's what the prophet is doing here by the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit. And there are two words repeated three times each in verses 2 and 3. And they're the words ruin and wailing. Or if you read the verses again, it's ruin, 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 and wail and wailing and wailing for the people of God. So it's a warning to the people of God. Now you must remember the picture that we have here in many parts of the Bible. Jehovah, who is the shepherd of his people, is warning his sheep. And we mustn't take warnings in a negative way. Warnings of the danger to come is the act of a good and caring shepherd. And a shepherd who faces reality, and not only reality, but what the Lord Jehovah himself is saying. So here's a message to the people of God. And then in verses 4 to 17, there is warning for the people, but the heavy emphasis is on the leaders who are entitled under the word shepherd. And it's a particular and profound and repetitive warning against the shepherds. Now, first of all, there is warning against the sheep. We saw it in 11 and verse 4. Feed the flock destined for slaughter. That's the warning against the sheep. But the shepherds, I know I'm going quite fast, but I want to get to the application, and I just want to touch on these details so that none of the applications are based out of one's own mind or what one would prefer to have as an application, but from the text of Scripture itself. So the warning of the shepherd, and these shepherds are described in many different ways. In verse 8, he speaks about shepherds, under shepherds, who despise the true shepherd of Israel. Look at verse 8. I dismissed three shepherds. Now this I is Zechariah the prophet, who is the true shepherd. You'll have to take my word for it to go home and read it, because it doesn't appear. You can, you might think that refers to the Lord Jehovah. Well, it is the Lord Jehovah through his servant, but here he's referring to Zechariah, or he's referring to himself. He says, I dismissed three shepherds. So he's a shepherd, and he says, I dismissed three shepherds in 1 month. And then Zechariah says, my soul loathes them. I hate them. And their soul abhorred me. And you might say, if you're not thoughtful about reading Scripture rightly, is it right to hate? Yes, it is right to hate the things that God hates. We must not love everything. We must only love what is right. We must hate what is wrong. So here we have Zechariah coming and pronouncing difficult words, but these three shepherds mentioned here, they're representative of all false shepherds. He not only dismisses them, but there is a mutual hatred. And this is true, not only in Israel, but in the Church of Jesus Christ. There are many who will not speak the hard truths. They will only speak the good and comfortable. The people look, searching, as Paul said, looking for ear ticklers. Or as the prophet Ezekiel says, who will say smooth and sweet things to them. They're the false prophets. A prophet, a pastor, a teacher who only says smooth things and ignores the difficult things and the warnings are false prophets. And they are prophets that Zechariah hated. And there are many such prophets. Partly because instead of speaking the word of God, the whole counsel of the word of God, they want to give people what they want. It's a marketing technique. It's a Madison Avenue technique. That's how you grow numbers. And if not, you can take the census of some, not all. There are some very good big churches. But by and large, you'll find these prophets in Zechariah's day exist in our day. Well, there is also a second kind of prophet that he mentions in verse 15. And this prophet is named as the foolish shepherd. Verse 15, Jehovah said to me, next take for yourself the implements of a foolish shepherd. Unfortunately, there are well-meaning shepherds who are foolish. In other words, they do not work hard. Remember what the Apostle Paul says. Think on these things and God will give you understanding. In other words, you have to learn the scriptures. And there are many who use the scriptures in a foolish way. They think they are helping, maybe. But they are foolish. Actually, they are foolish by their own inexcusable culpability. They will have to give an account. That's why the Bible says, let not many of you be teachers. And you know that every preacher in his right mind fears to be a preacher and teacher of the word. Why? Because they'll be judged with a most severe judgment, measure. And there are many foolish shepherds around. Nice. Even gifted. But foolish. Thirdly, there are shepherds who consume the people of God. Shepherds in it for money. People who want to raise funds. And at the worst, in the extreme ends, those who have their own private jets, who actually spend time preaching, Jesus would wear a Rolex and drive a Rolls Royce. And these are all facts that take place today. They consume the people of God. And you'll notice how they are described. They do not care for the sheep. They do not heal those who are broken or feed those who still stand. Amid the people of God, there are hungry people for the word. Those who come to church, and if they are God's people, then they're hungry for the word. But they don't do that. What do they do? But he will eat the flesh of the fat and tear their hooves in pieces. In other words, they consume the nourishment, the good out of these people. And then there is a fourth kind of shepherd. Verse 17. By the way, this is in verse 8, verse 15, verse 16, verse 17. You cannot pass over these things. Jehovah is placing great detailed description of these shepherds. Verse 17. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. Well, we all know what it is to have the saying about rats leaving a sinking ship first. Well, this is not rats. These are the captains and the officers. People without commitment. Woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. If things don't work in their favor, if they have criticism, or if they have opposition, what's their first response? They leave the flock. And then there is the shepherd who caters to men. They fear men rather than God. And how is that manifest? In Jeremiah 6 and verse 14, he says that in other places, they have also healed the hurt of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. These are people who deliberately ignore the sound words of warning and difficulty in the scriptures. They just want to say nice things because they're basically afraid of people, but they're very bold toward God. That's what we do when we skip over the whole counsel of God's word. And I'm not going to say any more of that, but it is important for the sheep to recognize what sort of a shepherd they're following. Most importantly in the church and then on the internet, because nowadays they're all on the air. Now let's apply it for our remaining times. As I said repeatedly, these are very severe words against sheep and against shepherds. But the very first thing that we must remember is that it is only the good shepherd who protects his sheep by warning them of danger. And we live in an evil world. We not only live in an evil world, we have the enemy of our souls. Remember how Paul describes false shepherds. They dress up as the angel of light. The angels of light are mostly in the pulpit. They're the gifted and the very nice and the ones who only speak of peace and comfort but never speak the whole counsel of the Word of God. And there are times when the people of God are called to wail, to mourn. Remember, Jesus himself mourned over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered. He wept over Jerusalem while pronouncing desolation for those who would not hear. And these truths are there throughout the scriptures. That's why the Apostle Paul says, all scripture is profitable for reproof. And we need reproof. We need correction. And then secondly, we cannot read Zechariah chapter 10, and especially chapter 11 and verses 14 through to the end, verse 17, about these shepherds, without remembering that Jehovah is our shepherd. Psalm 23. And because Jehovah is our shepherd, we shall not want. We might be exposed to all kinds of foolish, worthless, and wicked shepherds. And just the ignorant shepherds who have no business to be in the pulpit. But we mustn't write off the church of God and the ministry of the word, because God himself is our shepherd. And if we follow him and his word, we shall not want. And Jehovah, our shepherd, in Psalm 23, leads us through the valley of the shadow of death from time to time. If we take those words separately, valley. Valley is a deep ravine. It's a depth. Now, valley in the Bible, like every other symbol, can mean different things. Can mean good and bad. Like the serpent in the Bible. The serpent stands for the devil, but remember, the serpent is also a symbol of what Jesus became, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the Bible. So a symbol is not always uniform. You have to interpret it in the context of the immediate writing of that text. So valley, sometimes a valley is a place of peace and nourishment and gentle flowing waters. And as Spurgeon used to say, verdant ground, rich ground. But their valley of the shadow of death, the valley means deep ravine. Sometimes God's people go through deep times of depression, of desolation, of sorrow. And it is Jehovah who allows that. And it is only the false prophet who will say that if you have faith, you will ride over every circumstance. You remember, Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Jesus was a man of sorrows. Paul said he despaired even to the point of death. So where do we get these shepherds who will only sing triumphalistic music, but ignore the entirety of the Psalms, which is the hymnody of God's people? Sometimes God's people have to go through the valley. I don't know about you, maybe you are. Certainly all of us have been through valleys, some through deeper valleys than others. That's a mystery of God's providence. It is Jehovah who allows us to walk in the valley of deep trouble. Sometimes it's chronic illness. Even for young people, and the illness goes on and on and on and on, not only in old age. But then there is the shadow. These are dark times. Our fathers used to speak about the dark night of the soul. Moses speaks about times when the heavens will be as brass. See, the Bible is a real book. It deals with the profundities of the human experience. It gives us full and certain hope in the Lord Jehovah himself, who is our shepherd. It tells us of the coming one, for us who has come and who is coming again. But it also tells us about our present world and our present experience. And then there is death. Death, even for the Christian, is the last enemy. It's unnatural. But the Lord, through his rod and his staff, comforts us and will lead us and guide us through every one of these situations. That's why Jeremiah prays, "Oh Jehovah, correct me, but not in your anger." And he uses these things to purge us, to purify us. And sometimes it's not for chastisement. Many times it is for chastisement, because he's a loving father and he's a wise father. He's not an indulgent father. He's not a father whom we can manipulate by our religiosity and our false theology. He's a wise father, and whom the father loves, he chastises. And if he doesn't chastise us, we are illegitimate children, says the writer to the Hebrews. And then, of course, we must not forget the teaching about Jesus himself. Remember Jesus in John chapter 10, he says, "I am the good shepherd. And he says, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. See, he not only warns us, he not only enables us, but he gives his life for the sheep. He gave his life so that we might be saved from sin and darkness and eternal death. But if you read John chapter 10, as I'm sure you have, you know, they rejected him. Immediately after they said that, they rejected him again. And we have that in Zechariah chapter 11. In Zechariah chapter 11, verses 12 and 13, and I'll read the portion of those verses that pertain to Jesus Christ. This is what we read. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. And Jehovah said to me, throw it to the potter, that princely price they set on me. This is sarcasm. I know we have a saying, sarcasm is the worst form of wit, but Jehovah uses it. He uses it in other places. That prince, this is what they've done, the price of a slave. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of Jehovah the potter. We know in Matthew 27, this is applied to, and a similar thing happens to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was rejected by one of the 12 closest to him, a hand-picked apostle. Are we surprised that there are bad pastors and bad Christians? But we shouldn't be. There was a bad apostle. And he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Who would lay his life down for him? And if Jesus Christ was rejected by many who heard him, just after the Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's in verse 11 of John chapter 10. Listen to what their response is in verse 19. Therefore there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, hard to believe, this is what they said, he has a demon. Some said, he's mad. Why do you listen to him? And others said, these are not the words of a demon. In verse 31, they take up stone, 31 and following, they take up stones to stone him because he made himself equal with God. Well, he is equal with God, the second person of the Trinity. Nothing has changed. There is a wide spectrum of division. Some reject nicely. They even defend him. He's not bad. Others reject him outright. So what are we to do when we read these warnings of Jehovah? Well, we must thank him for his rebukes and his reproofs. And all reading of the scripture must include that. And let me quote to you again. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is profitable. And the first word he mentions is for doctrine, for teaching. There are people who don't want teaching. I said too much teaching in the preaching. But that's what the word of God is meant to do. Reproof, correction, instruction. So that the man of God may be built up. We must remember that Jehovah is our shepherd. And while there are true shepherds not of Zechariah's caliber, he was a directly inspired prophet. There is none like that today. But we have their words. And we must follow the scriptures and the whole counsel of God. So we must rely on Jehovah our shepherd. and thank him for his word. This is what Jesus Christ said about his people. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Are you discouraged? When you teach the word of God, they don't hear? Remember this. God's people will hear his word. There'll be many that reject. Within the widest spectrum, some will say he's mad. Some will say, we've never heard anything like this. Instead of checking with the scriptures, some will nicely walk away. And don't be surprised. But you know what? God's real sheep will hear his word. And they will follow him. And they will follow him into the everlasting abode, which Jesus, who is not only the shepherd, but he is a great architect, along with his father, who is building a city for his people. And may the Lord help us to take to heart what he has to say to us in Zechariah chapter 11, indeed throughout the scriptures. And we could not respond with a more appropriate hymn than the one we're going to close with. Now listen to the first words. It's hymn number 368. Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. When we hear these difficult passages, we must return to him with contrite hearts. Why? Because our God is gracious, nor will leave the desolate to mourn. His voice commands the tempest forth and stills the stormy wave. And though his arm be strong to smite, let's not forget that, it is also strong to save. Amen. Let's stand and respond by singing hymn number 368.
Thank you.
Remain standing if you're able, and we'll close in prayer. O Jehovah, great shepherd of your sheep, the good shepherd, the wise and the omnipotent shepherd, we thank you that because of you, those who hear your voice, submit to your staff and to your rod, will never want for any good thing for their souls. We thank you, O Lord, for the chastisements and the difficult providences you bring into our life. For they shape us, they purge us, they reveal true and genuine faith. We thank you for Jesus Christ, Jehovah's shepherd, who came not only to shepherd his people, but to call a people for his own name's sake by the laying down of his own life and become the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But Lord, we thank you that he's not only the Lamb of God, but he's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And one day he's coming back in glory to rout every form of wickedness, to destroy every blasphemous and wicked person, and to set up his kingdom wherein righteousness dwells. Lord, help us to be sheep that hear your voice. That is all that you have to say, and follow you. Help us to be contrite in heart and at the same time have great confidence in the God who is our shepherd. And now may the grace, mercy, and peace of Jehovah's shepherd, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each one of us until we are led into his eternal sheepfold. Amen.